Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Brand new week, first full week of April upon us, April the 4th, 2016. Hope you had a great weekend. Ray, do you know today is Hug a News Person Day? Yes, there is an official day for everything.
Didn't know that, Bill.
Yeah, so there you go. Coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Got our podcast and complete show archive available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040, for your questions and comments. If you'd like to become a friend of the show, join us on Facebook. In addition, you can Twitter us at Tweet Us. At Buckmaster Show. We're going to begin with our Monday political face-off, followed by our monthly visit with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. General Wickham comes up at about 12:30. Every Monday on the show, we do kick things off with the Monday political face-off, featuring a different team of commentators each Monday. And this week, we have Republican State Committeeman from Legislative District Number 2, in Arizona, and we are so happy to have Mr. Kelly, James Kelly. Jim Kelly is with us. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Paul Eckerstrom is here. Paul seated to my left, Jim to my right, former chair. Paul's former chair of the state in Pima County Democratic Party. Paul, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, except I'm just getting over a cold, so it wasn't as enjoyable as it could have been.
Remind me, I've got some wipes here. We'll wipe our hands after shaking hands.
I won't hug you, Bill.
Oh, yes. I'll take a rain check on my Hug a News Person Day for a different time. Monday political face-off presented by a gentleman who really believes in political discourse. We're so happy that Mr. Mo Gall is a supporter of our Monday political face-off. Mo owns and has since 1985, run the Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at mosgallery.com. I want to talk a little bit about the minimum wage, but before we do that, Jim and Paul, you know, it just seems like depending on how things go in Wisconsin tomorrow, this may be a tipping point for Mr. Trump. He may have the energy level may be slowing down a little bit, the Trump train. I see that the Trump supporters being so passionate, they're not going to be happy if their guy doesn't get the nomination and they conceivably could walk out. They could not vote. How do you see it?
Well, you know, we still have a contested primary, and we still have people wanting this job more than their opponent.
Right.
So, you know, this is democracy at its finest. This is sort of, you know, in the law field. How do you come to the truth? Through conflict, through an adversarial system. Well, politics is an adversarial system, so it's going to go to the end. I think almost everyone is preparing for an open convention. Not any candidate is going to walk in with enough delegates at the convention to actually just win the nomination outright. It's going to take some dealing. We'll know on the first vote whether there's going to be enough delegates or not, and then the second and any succeeding votes after that.
But welcome
to good old grassroots, ground-up Republican politics.
Is it making Hillary a stronger candidate by having Bernie with folks continuing to feel the burn?
I think so. What you see on the Democratic side is a real strong discussion of economic fairness in this country, and Bernie's brought that to the table, but Hillary's been talking about it too, and I think that's a good thing for the Democrats in general to run on, and I think so I think it's helping Hillary. And the other thing is, understand this, the media is all over the Republican side because of Donald Trump. And now that Bernie has made it very competitive on the Democratic side, the Democrats are getting a view, too, of a look-see from a lot of voters, and that's a good thing. I mean, they need to – I think with the message that Bernie's bringing and that Hillary is bringing on economic justice issues, I think the more people hear that from the Democrats, the more likely they're going to vote for Democrats. So I think that's a good thing. You know, at some point, I think Bernie's going to the math is very difficult for him to get enough delegates. His only chance is to win Wisconsin, which is very close, then go into New York and pull an upset on Hillary in basically her home state, although he grew up in Brooklyn himself. And if he gets that type of momentum, then he maybe can get some big delegate hauls from California and other places. The only problem is I don't think he can make the first ballot with unpledged delegates. He would have to convince a lot of these what they call superdelegates who are uncommitted, who are you know, governors mm-hmm. and congressmen and people like that, who predominantly right now are with Hillary. He'd have to convince them that he's the best general election candidate, get them to vote for him.
John has been waiting patiently. Hello, John is on our live line at 790-2040. Go ahead, John.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have kind of a wonky process question for both gentlemen. I was curious, given the multi-candidate array of candidates on the Republican side, if either party has considered instituting something called ranked choice voting with an instant runoff system. And to briefly describe that for the listeners, basically as the Democrat side, as an example, I vote for Martin O'Malley 1, Bernie Sanders 2, Hillary Clinton 3. When it becomes mathematically impossible for Martin O'Malley to win, my vote then goes to my second choice, Bernie Sanders, and there's an instant runoff until someone wins with 50% of the vote. I was wondering if that is a possibility for primaries and then also for the general election so that more third parties can be involved and there isn't a spoiler effect. I'll take my answer off the phone.
All right,
the air.
Jim Kelly.
Well, these are the rules that would be coming down from the various national organizations. And these rules have been debated over and over and over again, I think almost since the beginnings of the parties themselves. So, you know, often they make headway in committee, and sometimes those resolutions even make it to the floor. I believe, I could be wrong, that those were the kinds of things that were talked about in 72 with Nixon, and they were talked about again in 76 with Reagan and Ford. But the reality of it is it's a very, very difficult point to make, not only in committee at the Rules Committee, but also to the general electorate of the conventions, because if they don't see how the math adds up directly, that isn't just one person, one vote. It usually gets rejected. The one person, one vote is just absolutely, you know, sacrosanct to the Republican Party.
You know, in both parties, but I'll just give the Democratic since I know that better. There's national rules and committee rules but there's also that are set there. You have to live within the parameters of, and then each state party then can either do a caucus. Or if the state legislature in a particular state decides to do a primary, they open up the voting for everybody. But there's different rules for different states right now in the voting. For example, New Hampshire's an open primary, which means anybody can go vote in the Democratic primary, or anybody, Republican, Independent, anybody can vote in the Republican side.
But they have to choose a ballot.
But they have to choose one or the other. Right. The same thing goes in Arizona. In Arizona, it's a closed primary, which is only Democrats who are registered Democrats can vote in the presidential primary, not in the regular primary. Anybody can.
Presidential preference.
And the same with the Republicans, the presidential. So the rules can be different from state to state. So I don't see why that type of system couldn't be implemented in a particular state, depending on the state legislature and also the party rules on each party.
There's a wonderful thing in this country. It's called we're a republic, and the states have sovereignty under Article 10 of the Constitution, and that's why different states can have different rules.
Yep.
And independents don't have a voice right now in our primary, basically.
They do, but they don't. The reality is that an independent would have to choose a party mm-hmm. For the presidential preference elections.
They have to re-register.
Right. They have to actually re-register to do so. So are they kept out of the process? Well, you know, independents can organize. They are averse to organizing. They're like kittens, but they are averse to organization. So, but independents could organize for independent candidates if they so choose.
But
then they would have to participate in the process fully.
But remember this. Independents in the regular primaries, like in August 30th of this year, when we pick up primary candidates for all the other races, Arizona does allow independents to go in and choose either ballot. They can choose a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot to vote in the primary. It just in the presidential preference, they can't. That's the just the, it's a strange. I don't know why they did it that way.
Both parties argue. Every year, I know at your state conventions, they argue the resolution. At our state conventions, we argue the resolution to close the primaries completely so that, you know, there's no dallying, whatever. And I'm talking about the primaries, not just presidential preference, but to actually close the primaries. And in both parties, every year, resolutions come up about caucuses. Resolutions come up about all kinds of things with regards to the rules of who gets to vote for who. The reality of it is that... That atrophy within both parties does disengage the independent vote, and we have over a third of our registered voters now who are party not designated in this state. They are disenfranchised. But they don't have to be. They can enfranchise themselves at any point in the process that they want to. They can either organize themselves or they can pick a party and make their votes happen.
All right. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Jim Kelly seated to the right of me and Paul Eckerstrom to the left. We'll be right back with our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Fine Framing and Gallery. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday as certified financial planner Shelley Fishman reports in from Europe. Also, the nutrition reporter Jack Chalom answers your health and wellness questions. It's all happening noon to one each weekday on Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming podcasts in our archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. Jim Kelly is here. Mr. Kelly, longtime Republican activist, and Paul Eckerstrom, Democrat, longtime party activist. We've been talking during the break about Governor Brown, California Governor Brown, signing a bill into law creating the highest statewide minimum wage in the United States, $15 an hour, will be phased in by 2022. Paul, you think it'd be a good idea for Arizona to follow suit? Because that is an issue that there's a petition drive that was launched actually last week to put this on the November ballot. It would move up our minimum wage, increase to $10 an hour by 2017 from the current $8.05 an hour, and eventually it would go to $12 by 2020.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of minimum wage. I think you have to take it by region. Jim and I were discussing off air a little bit. I think California cost of living is higher than Arizona, so it makes sense that they're at 15 and we would maybe get up to $12 an hour. But you know, here's the reality. Reality is we live in a market-driven economy, that consumers are very important. If we don't have a consumer class, a group of people, a large middle class, that can actually purchase things and buy things, then our whole system will collapse. And right now, what's the trend has been is a very high concentration of wealth in the country to the very, very wealthy, and everybody else is slipping and not being that's a prescription for economic disaster in a market system. And what we need to do is really shore up and have a little more economic fairness in our system, where people are getting paid better so that they can raise a family, they can buy a car, they can buy a house, they can buy a refrigerator. And by doing that, we will actually increase the wealth of the nation, because we'll have economic activity and our market system will be healthy that way. Otherwise, if you have too much concentration of wealth, and we're the highest concentration of wealth in our country's history, even more so than the Gilded Age back at the turn of the last century, and that is ultimately, I think, was the reason we had a Great Depression. And once we built the middle class after the Great Depression, we had great economic we were the largest economy in the world, obviously. And I think we're in danger of creating a situation where we don't have that consumer class. And that's why I think the minimum wage is so important.
What do you think, Jim Kelly?
Well, what a lot of people forget is that the federal Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 was based on crisis economy, an economy that was still 70% rural. Mm-hmm. Most labor was still done with the strength of a man's back. And also trying to address child labor laws. In those days, you literally had 14, 15, 16-year-old girls that would go into a sewing factory and have to buy their own needles just to do their job. And they got paid 10 cents an hour. So all of these things needed to be addressed in 1938. The problem is that our economy and what people spend their money on has changed so dramatically. So you've got old laws based on old paradigms that just don't exist anymore. I would love to go to a full 100% market-based economy that the government had one-tenth of the regulatory power that they have over our economy right now, particularly our market and our fair market. But under today's specific economies, you're looking at Arizona people being paid in call centers between $8.50 and $11.50 an hour, and yet the prevailing wage for Tucson is $13 an hour. In order to have the same buying power of a $15 an hour job in California, an Arizonan has to make $13 an hour. So with Paul, I agree regionally, but I also agree with something that would take us back to some of the arguments that people use of, oh, those minimum wage jobs for college kids and high school kids just trying to learn, you know, how to be a worker. Wrong. The minimum wage is to be based on an individual's need for self-sufficiency. That was the original intent of the FLSA, and it should be the original intent of minimum wage today. However, a tiered system for training wages for high school kids, for college kids, of training wages at entry level, that I think we need to start taking a look at again and go back to. What this does for businesses, well, there's certain things that are gonna have to suck up. However, we still need to address the overregulation of businesses that cost them so much that, you know, you've got entire business models like franchise restaurants whose entire business model is based on paying whoever walks through the door, whether they're 16 or 55, and paying them the same minimum wage.
I believe some European countries, I think Switzerland doesn't have a minimum wage. They just let the market prevail.
Right. Well, yeah. Switzerland has also had a banks with lots of gold bullion for over 500 years.
But what about just a federal minimum wage, Paul?
Well, I mean, but if you did a straight, I think we should have a federal minimum wage. But I do think it needs to take into account different regions and cost of living in different regions, because obviously California has a higher cost of living than Arizona, for example, and as a result, you know, there should be adjustments made for that. But what I do hope is that everybody in the country gets at least a living wage if they work, where they can be self-sufficient and have a family and actually be able to buy things, because that's what's really important in a market-driven economy.
All right. I also ran out of time, but I wanted to talk about dark money. There's a bill that is on the governor's desk right now that would overhaul the campaign finance laws. Good thing, Jim Kelly?
Yes, absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, number one, you got to take a look at everybody that participated in this, from the Attorney General to the Secretary of State, you know, the state legislature. These are all people in power, and they know what is going to help them stay in power and what's not going to help them stay in power. Every party, both parties, use dark money to go after each other. But the reality of it is this: money is speech. Speech is protected, pure and simple. And people should have the right to be able to donate money anonymously. And the reason why is so that political power at the moment can't punish and keep down anybody that's ever donated money to the guy that they want to go up against and get out of power.
Paul,
it's
do you have
that
a,
simple.
You have a different take on it.
I think it's a horrible idea for democracy to have dark money, and the reason is this. Look at the billionaires are buying elections right now in this country, and they are then going to the people they bought and basically say, I want this in certain policy so I can make even more money. And that's why you're seeing a shrinking of the middle class, frankly, is that our political system has been bought and sold by the very wealthy in this country. And at least I want to know if the Koch brothers bought. I want to know if APS or TEP bought the Corporation Commission. They're going to jack up my rates because APS bought them.
And I want to know if George Soros is paying the wages of Mi Familia Vota.
Well, okay.
I want to know if George Soros is paying the wages of SEIU people.
I'm totally. I agree. I just don't think, I think everybody should be upfront about, if political speech is this, yeah, okay, if you've got more money, I guess you get a bigger microphone, in, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. I disagree with that, but let's say that's the case. But at least when you're out in the political arena and you're saying something, people know that you're saying it. But if the Koch brothers go in and buy a politician, a governor like Doug Ducey, and they don't have to say it was them that did it,
or the oil companies that donate to Hillary Clinton's foundation.
Well, yeah, you know, great. Same thing. You know, I agree, the point, Jim. It should be all out in the open.
But the point,
and then
is,
voters can decide who to support based on who bought them.
But the point is that the reason the Democrats want to know so they can punish who's ever given money down here, and the Republicans want to know, right? You think there'd be Republicans who would want to know so they could punish Democrats, right? The point is Republicans don't care and they don't punish. Democrats do. So,
oh, that's not true. You know, I mean, look, the plain fact is, a voter, the more educated the voter is about a particular candidate, where they're coming from, and who's supporting them, I think is an important part of our democracy. A well-educated voter then, who knows where the money's coming from, can vote based on that if they want to.
Thank you very much, Paul Eckerstrom and Jim Kelly. Hope you both have a great week. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing since 1985. They do such a fantastic job. Custom frame mirrors, have them in my own bathrooms, and they've got great art on the walls, picture framing, hanging services, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. General Wickham is coming up right after this.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is reminding you they have pigeon services with an alliterative pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you will be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
Catman and Superdog want you to be a superhero for homeless pets for Arizona Gives Day. Make your donation to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org/azgives and help us fight the evils of pet abandonment and animal cruelty. Arizona Gives Day is April 5th. Donate now at hssaz.org/azgives.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Oh,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are so proud of our sponsors here at KVOI and the Buckmaster Show. Our newest sponsor on Buckmaster is Green Things Nursery. They do such a great job. They had 4 acres. They've now expanded to 13. They're just off River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They have so many, many, well, they've got 33 greenhouses. Need I say more? They've got lots of plants and everything you need for your spring planting. GreenThingsAZ.com. Check them out. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs. We are so honored to have General John Wickham with us. General Wickham was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He also was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. He served a total of 41 years in the United States Army. He is retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us usually the first Monday of the month on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your program. And I want to comment, you've got some very fine sponsors on your program.
We do.
Some of them I've known, met, gone to, and that's really a tribute to your galvanizing activity in the community.
Well, thank you, General Wickham, and I try to have sponsors on this program, the places that I go myself and places that I can certainly endorse. Some very sad news out of the Pentagon over the weekend. We're learning that 265 active duty service members killed themselves, took their own lives last year. Unfortunately, General Wickham, this continues a trend of unusually high suicide rates that are plaguing now the U.S. military for at least the last 7 years.
That's right, Bill. It's reflective, as you know so well, of what's happening in the nation and also in Europe and other countries. As our economies grow, there's lots of pressures and stress, and that leads to people losing faith in their future and doing terrible things. Now, in the military, what's particularly causing all of this is a variety of factors. You're well aware of them. One of them is, of course, the stress of military life, deployments, hard on the families, hard on the children, and also the nature of the warfare that they're exposed to. That's what post-trauma stress disorder defines, the explosions, the tragedies of lives that you're seeing distorted, and that does have an impact on people and their psyche. There's another factor, and that is, unfortunately, I don't want to get into preaching, but I think there's a growing tolerance in our nation for alcohol abuse and drug abuse. Ann and I were driving down on La Cañada just a couple of weeks ago, when we stopped at the stoplight, and there were a dozen bikers in the bike lane stopped, and this pickup truck ran into them, killed two of them, threw the bodies up in the air, just gave me memories of a Vietnam experience. Well, the driver of the truck was high on amphetamines and marijuana, and he also had two guns in the vehicle. So we've become, as a society, much too tolerant of radical behavior, and that's leading to terrorism and it's leading to suicides. There's another factor in the military that you're probably aware of. We've talked about it. And occasionally, units develop what is known as toxic leadership. Leadership that's abusive of people, maybe minorities, maybe women, maybe people in general. And fortunately, the Congress 30 to 40 years ago, when I was head of the Army, passed some legislation called Selective Early Retirement Boards, which allowed the services to retire people early. Well, I made use of that legislation for 4 years to select out of the Army scores of colonels and brigadier generals and major generals who were deemed to be toxic in leadership or not meritorious to go to the future. I don't think my successors made use of it, and I'm not sure that any of the other service chiefs have used it. But there's a tool there that we should use to get rid of toxic leadership. Corporate America needs to do more of that also. But that's part of the factor of people sort of losing faith and hope and sort of taking their lives.
And that toxic leadership, you know, the bad apple in the old saying about a bad apple in the in a whole barrel of wonderful, beautiful, shiny red apples eventually is going to turn that whole barrel into some bad, tainted apples. And it's really, it ruins the whole unit that that leader is in charge of, these men and women. Yeah.
Amen. And that's, the Army's trying, all the services are trying to upgrade the quality of leadership training. But, you know, Bill, the last 10 years of all these wars, focus on warriors, focus on killing, destruction, that has sort of caused a backseat on leadership training. And it's going to take a while to build it back up. There's a relationship to that. The focus on warrior ethos. If you want to be a good warrior, there was an old myth in the Army. You had to be a two-fisted drinker, a womanizer, and a profane person. Baloney with those ideas. I tried to get rid of them, but they're back in spades. And that's leading to some of the suicide problems and other problems we have in the military.
790-2040, 790-2040. We have Matthew would like to speak with General John Wickham. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hello, Matthew. He's always got good questions.
He always does. Good caller, always.
I appreciate that. General Wickham, as you know, world events, you know, we have experienced the loss of a Marine now again in Iraq because he was part of a fire support mission. That was assigned to a base in Iraq to support our special operations troops. We seem to be taking a new posture where we are actively tracking and actually using troops to track down certain elements of either Al-Qaeda or ISIL. Are you comfortable with the force support for these troops right now? And one last thing is on the VA. I'm concerned about the Blue Ribbon panel suggesting that the VA just disassemble itself and go to a Medicare type payment system and just do away with the VA system as is. Do you have any thoughts about that? Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, those are excellent, really excellent questions, Matthew, and thank you for bringing them up for all the people that are concerned about them. Let me take the last question first. You're exactly right. There is a lot of talk about let's do away with the VA. Senator McCain, although I admire him for his heroism, I think he's got some ideas that I don't agree with. And one of them is that we ought to take this situation where they've legislation which has now allowed vets that live outside 40 miles to get a card, a Medicare kind of a card. You can go to any doctor and get care. He wants to do away with that and let veterans go anywhere they want. If that's the case, why have the VA? The tragedy with all of that is that, and I have some experience with the VA, although I don't use it, but I've been down there to shake hands with the vets and others. The quality of the VA is that they have nurses and doctors who understand the needs of veterans better than the civil community. And they outreach, they care. And our hospital here in Tucson, one of the best in the United States for a variety of reasons. And I think doing away with the VA would be an extraordinary, foolish move. We need to boost the VA. And unfortunately, while the critics of the VA are saying it's bad care and too many hours waiting, guess what? The Congress hasn't walked the talk. where the VA and the administration, Obama's administration, has repeatedly asked the Congress for more funding to hire doctors and nurses and to expand our VA hospitals. They haven't done it. They've walked away from it. They've walked away from a lot of legislation caring for our families and our veterans. And that's why I think we've got to do a better job there and cut out all this talk and do some walking. So now the other point about the Middle East and what's going on there, yes, there's going to be more of that, Matthew, more individuals that are killed. But I think the Obama administration, to its credit, has resisted the call to let's go over there and have another Iraq, another invasion. We've got, I don't want to get into politics, but some of the people that are running for office are arguing now that we need to have 20 to 30,000 boots on the ground, American boots on the ground, and start another war in Syria and get rid of ISIS. That's not going to do it. We're not going to get rid of something centuries-old conflict that way. What we can do is what we're doing, stopping the sources of funding. We've really cut back on the funding of ISIS by our efforts to cut out oil access to them and also to kill their leaders and to stop the young people wanting to go there. That's being the big problem in Europe. Europe has not integrated the Islamic communities the way we have in America. And as a result, you have a lot of disaffected young men and women who think that going to the Middle East is going to be a seventh heaven for them and something valuable. They're beginning to realize that's wrong. And some of them are coming back saying, this is the biggest mistake I ever made. So I think we're on the right track, Matthew. But we've got to be careful and not listen to all this hype and talk. Senator McCain, again, great man, but he's pushing for 10,000 or more boots on the ground. I think he's wrong. All right. I think he does not understand the Middle East, nor does he understand the sacrifices that our young men and women are going to have to make if we start another war.
All right, General John Wickham will be around for another segment, and we will take your calls at 790-2040. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back in a very short order with General John A. Wickham, Jr., former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, right after this.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Sphero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is going on 12:52 on this Monday afternoon. General John Wickham is with us. General Wickham, of course, very connected with information coming out of Korea because of his past experience with the South Korean military forces. The thing about North Korea, and we've seen these pictures of that that young man who was sentenced to, what, 10, 20 years for taking down a poster in an elevator or something? That's unbelievable.
Yes, and I think the young man realizes that you don't do those kinds of things, but it's an illustration of the rigidity of North Korea, and if you're going to start messing around with a snake, you're going to get bitten, and I don't think we ought to be doing that, but there's an awful lot of that going on in, believe it or not, we don't read about it, but the South Koreans are allowing all kinds of broadcasts and balloons carrying propaganda into North Korea, some of it being paid for by former North Koreans who have escaped to the South and made a lot of money there, and now they're using that as an opportunity to try to dismantle the North. It's going to lead to a reaction by the North. Anything coming up there saying we've got to have regime change is going to lead to this sort of adverse reaction. And what's going on now, as you know, Bill, so well, every year there's a big exercise that we bring in troops from the United States air and ground, Marines, and marry up with the South Koreans, and we have these big exercises, thousands of troops maneuvering, and it's all for defensive purposes, we tell the North Koreans. They don't see it that way. They see it as preparing for an invasion. And when I was over there during my 3 years, I tried to persuade the North Koreans to come and visit these exercises with observers. The Chinese told me they thought that was a great idea, but the North Koreans rejected it because they thought it was abusive on our part. But that's going to go on. Now, the exercises this year are the largest we've ever had. And that I can see why the North Koreans are really upset with them. But I think it's important to continue to do that. South Korea is one of our very strong allies. And you know, one of the interesting things about South Korea we should not forget, it is a democracy, almost like America. Their West Point has uniforms just like our West Point. They teach English at their West Point, so that when their officers graduate, they're fluent in Korean and English. And it's one of the giants of economic success in Asia. It's one of the great success stories of American diplomacy, and we need to continue to strengthen it.
How about nuclear weapons getting into the hand? Japan could probably develop a nuclear weapon in a very short order, couldn't they?
Amen. You're exactly right, Bill. The Japanese have substantial plutonium left over from their civil nuclear reactors, and we are working with the Japanese to take care of that and dismantle it. And some of that's being brought to the United States for that very purpose. The Japanese want to do that, and the Japanese foreign minister just said a day or so ago, we're never going to get nuclear weapons. It's inconsistent with our Constitution and what we had happen to us with the U.S. explosions of weapons. However, there are Japanese legislators who are now arguing the time has come for us to begin to think about it. South Korea, the same way. They have the technology, both countries, and they could, with their technology and manufacturing ability and plutonium left over, they could build weapons within a year. And there may be movement to do that. Look what some of the political candidates are saying in the United States. We ought to let them have weapons. Encourage them to have weapons. Crazy. We don't need to encourage nuclear proliferation. That's why the Iran nuclear deal, in my humble opinion, is a profound success and important for the future. It set back Iran for 25 years and can be used as an agreement with North Korea, maybe, to get them to back off. I don't think give up weapons, but to have control over them. So, unfortunately, we've got people in Congress, the Conservative Party, that wants to destroy the nuclear deal in Iran. And I just think that's wrong-headed.
You know, it was General MacArthur, right, that created, didn't he create the Constitution for the Japanese government?
Exactly. And interesting about that, Bill, he had selected a woman, American colonel, to write part of the Constitution. And the words that she wrote are the words that prohibit Japan from exercising its military outside of Japan. Now, the Japanese are changing that. Abe, the prime minister, wants to do that, and I think that will happen. That's probably wise to give Japan a little more flexibility in the world. But the worry is that nuclear proliferation in the Far East can very well be a matter of life or death, given the strange behavior of North Korea. Now, good news is that the sanctions now imposed by the United Nations on North Korea are the severest ever, and that Russia and China have agreed to those sanctions. So China seems to recognize they have to do their part in trying to rein in North Korea. And I think that's hope for the future.
All right, General John Wickham, how many miles did you do on your bicycle today?
Oh, I try to do 5 or 6 every day, as long as the good Lord lets me.
Well, you're getting that great exercise, and you sound good, and we're hopeful, and we're just really glad you're doing so well. Thank you so much.
God bless. Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. We try to have the general on at least once a month. The first Monday of the month is our goal, and we're always honored to have him on the show. We're also honored that Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, believe in our product here on the Buckmaster Show. They like to get the word out in Southern Arizona that they have a lot to offer when it comes to recreation over in that beautiful corner of southwestern New Mexico. Silver City is only about three hours east of Tucson, and you can be in a really nice area, about a mile high elevation with the Gila National Wilderness right there, the nation's first national wilderness right there in Silver City. And then, of course, the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument is just north of Silver City. Great places to stay in the area, like Bear Creek Cabins. You can find the full listing of the many places to stay and the many things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. All right, coming up here this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Mr. Mike Shaw is behind this very microphone in this very studio, and Ray Allen is behind the glass, and he'll be engineering and producing that show as well. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 Pacific Time or 1800 Greenwich Mean Time. Whatever. Have a great afternoon and evening.